الحمد لله صلى الله وسلم وبارك على النبي المصطفى. إمام مسلم رحمه الله تعالى الورثة للرفع الصحيح عند سرطة أبو ذر جند بن جنادة رضي الله عنه جاءت الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم said as and what he narrated to his Lord Allah تبارك وتعالى, and this hadith is called Hadith Qudsi. And the difference between the Hadith Qudsi and the Hadith Nabawi is that the Hadith Nabawi, the meaning is from Allah and the wording is from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Hadith Qudsi, the meaning and the wording is from Allah. The difference between Hadith Qudsi and Quran, both of them are meaning and wording from Allah, but Quran, we worship Allah by reciting it, and we recite it in prayer. Hadith Qudsi, we don't recite in prayer. That's the difference. So, the Prophet said that Allah Ta'ala said, يَا عِبَادِي إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا فَلَا تَبَارَكَ. Oh my servants, I did forbid to myself the wrong and made it forbidden among you, so do not wrong one another. يا عبادي كلكم ضالون إلا من هديته فاستهدوني أهدكم. Oh my servants, all of you are misguided, but he whom I guide, so ask me the guidance, I guide you. يا عبادي كلكم جائع إلا من أطعمتم فاستطعموني وأطعمكم. Oh my servants, all of you are hungry, but he whom I feed, so ask me to feed you, I feed you. يا عبادي كلكم عار إلا من كسوته فاستكسوني أكسكم. Oh my servants, all of you, oh my servants, all of you are naked, but he whom I provide him clothes to wear, so ask me to provide you clothes to wear, I then provide you clothes to wear. يا عبادي يا عبادي إنكم تخطئون بالليل والنهار وأنا أغفر الذنوب جميعا فاستغفروني أغفر لكم. Oh my servants, you have sins at night and day, and I forgive all the sins. So ask me forgiveness, I will forgive you. يا عبادي إنكم لن تبلغوا ضري فتضروني ولن تبلغوا نفعي فتنفعوني. Oh my servants, you shall never reach to harm me, nor you shall reach to benefit me. يا عبادي لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم كانوا على أتقى قلب رجل واحد منكم ما زاد ذلك في ملكي شيئا. ولو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم كانوا على Oh my slaves, if you all, from the first man to the last, from mankind and jinn, are all as upon one most pious heart of you, that shall never give more in my position. يا عبادي لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم كانوا على أبجل قلب رجل واحد منكم ما نقص ذلك من ملك شيئا. All my servants, if you all, from the first man to the last, from mankind and jinn, all are as upon the world's heart of one of you, that will never affect on my position anything. يا عبادي لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم قاموا على صعيد واحد فسألوني فأعطيت كل واحد مسألته ما نقص ذلك من ملكي مما عندي إلا كما ينقص المخيط إذا أدخل البحر. Oh my servants, if you all, from the first man to the last, from mankind and jinn, stood in one plain land, asking me of anything, I shall give everyone his own needs, that will never lessen of what I have. But as a needle when it is put into the sea, يا عبادي إنما هي أعمالكم أحصيها عليكم فمن وجد خيرا فليحمد الله ومن وجد غير ذلك فلا يلومن إلا نفسه. Oh my servants, it is only your deeds that I count for you, then I pay them back to you. So whoever does find good that day, they should he praise his Lord Allah. And he, whomsoever, finds bad, they should not blame nobody but himself. This hadith consisted of 10 calls and 10 guidance. Allah Ta'ala started this hadith by calling his creation, and especially mankind and jinn. The two creations whom are able to do good and bad, whom are going to face the judgment, whom are going to get either to the Jannah, the Paradise, or the Hellfire. And that's why Allah Ta'ala gave them all this guidance. As in the first call, Allah Ta'ala called them and said, "Oh my servants, I did forbid to myself the wrong." Why? Why did Allah told us about that? Although Allah is free of wrong, but it is to show us the harm and danger of wrong, of doing wrong. And as in the hadith, wrong is one of the records of sins that Allah Ta'ala would never forget. The record of wrong would never be forgiven up until the people you have wronged forgive you. And wrong is the darkness in this life and in the hereafter. And when the Prophet ﷺ says, wrong is the darkness in the hereafter, you should know what it means. As Allah Ta'ala explains and describe the situation in the direction when people have to cross the tire on the path, which is thinner than the hair, piece of hair, sharper than the sword, and it is very dark. So there you know that dark, more darkness is even worse. You need not to have any darkness that day. So avoid wrong. Avoid the blessing. And Allah Ta'ala told us, as the Prophet told us, that Allah Ta'ala will support the one who has been wrong or oppressed, even if he is a kafir, even if he is a non-Muslim, and even if the one who wronged him is a Muslim, Allah Ta'ala will punish the Muslim for wronging a mankind, whatsoever religion he is upon. You as a Muslim, not allowed to oppress or wrong anyone. So be careful of that, dear brother and sister. The second call included the reason or the way in which guidance can be gained. Guidance, that matter that no one can have it except if Allah Ta'ala permits. Allah Ta'ala described this thing to us by commanding us to keep asking Him guidance and forgiveness. Allah Ta'ala clarified the reality of this matter, that it is not up to any creation but to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look to what Allah Ta'ala said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was asking his uncle Abu Talib to say la ilaha illallah, willing to give him guidance, willing to put guidance in his chest, in his heart. But Allah Ta'ala told him, innaka, verily you, O Muhammad, لا تهدي من أحباب. You guide not whom you like, ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء. But Allah guides whomever He سبحانه وتعالى likes. Although He said about Him, فإنك لتهدي إلى صراط مستقيم. Verily you guide to the right path. But see the difference between إنك لا تهدي من أحباب and the other ayah, إِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى. You can't guide people by putting guidance in their heart, but you can guide them to where guidance can be taken from. And that's why in the other ayah, the proposition was to. Verily you guide to the path of Allah. But you cannot. You cannot, O Muhammad, whether anyone else other than Allah can give guidance to people by the meaning of putting light in their heart. However, the Prophet ﷺ himself used to ask guidance from Allah, although he was the messenger and blood and prophet and the most beloved creation ever known. He is the most beloved creation to Allah. But yet, he's asking Allah in most of his night prayers, in dua al-istiftah, the supplication of the beginning of prayer, saying, Allahumma rabba Jibra'il, wa Mika'il, wa Israfil. Oh Allah, you're the Lord of Jibra'il, Mika'il, and Israfil. Fatir al-samawati wal-ard, you're the one who created heavens and earth. رَبَّ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ وَمَلِيكَ. You are the Lord of everything and the owner of it. أَنْتَ تَحْكُمُ بَيْنَ عِبَادِكَ فِي مَا كَانُ فِيهِ يَخْتَلِفُونَ. You are the one who is going to judge between your slaves, your servants, of what they used to be, having differences in or with, meaning in religion. So guide me. اهدني لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك. So guide me, O Allah, to the truth in which people have different understandings by your permission. Meaning guide me by your permission. إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. Then you guide whomsoever you want to the right path. So if this was from the one whom been sent by Allah as a guide, as the one who brings forward the glad tidings to them, as the one who warns them of evil, the one who calls to Allah by the permission of Allah, and he was the lightning or lighting of the source of lighting amongst people. So what about us? We, the weak creation, who commit sins day and night. We, whom Allah Ta'ala commanded us to ask Him forgiveness and guidance. And in this hadith, Allah Ta'ala said, يَا عِبَادِي كُلُّكُمْ ضَالٌ إِلَّا مَنْ هَدَيْتُمْ. O my servants, you all are misguided, except for those whom I guide. So, ask me guidance, I will provide it to you. In the third call, Allah Ta'ala brought settle into our hearts, not to worry about sustenance. As He subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who provides sustenance and prevents sustenance. So in this life, if you think people can harm you with sustenance, can reduce your income, can stop your income, can make you rich, you're wrong. You are wrong. It is Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. As what the Prophet ﷺ said to Ibn Abbas, and know, O Lord, that if the whole nation came together to benefit you of anything, they won't be able to benefit you except with what Allah Ta'ala has written for you. And if they all gather to harm you with anything, they won't be able to harm you except with what Allah has written for you. And the Prophet ﷺ is describing the matter of sustenance to us, the reality, the truth of it. So we don't fear. We don't fear. You never see a scared cat or rat or bird that he might not have food. Food is provided for everyone. But some of us would like always to have 5-star class food. But any kind of food that Allah provides you, you would live with. The matter is what kind of life you have. Are you settled? Are you happy? Or not? Are you worried all the time? Don't think money can bring you happiness. It is Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the Prophet ﷺ is telling us the reality of God. He said, verily, Ruh al-Qudus, the Holy Spirit, which is Jibreel alayhi salam, نفث في روحي. He blew in my into my mind. Meaning he whispered to me, he told me, أن نفسا, that there is no soul will leave this world, will die before getting all what has been written for it from sustenance and aid and life. No one will die before having every single thing written for him. And then the Prophet ﷺ gave us the guidance and said, فَأَجْمِنُوا بِالطَّلَبِ. Then, don't burn yourself running after sustenance. It will come to you. In the other hadith, two things run after mankind. Death and sustenance. Death, wherever you go, will catch you. Sustenance, everyone knows that death will catch him. But unfortunately, most of the people do not know, do not believe that sustenance is running after you. It runs after you. And that's why Allah Ta'ala commanded us to ask him with this thing. Say, Ya Ibadi, Kullukum Ja'i'un. إِلَّا مَنْ أَطْعَمْتُ. All my servants, you all are hungry. Is it true? A millionaire is hungry? Yes. Even if all food is good in front of him, he is still hungry. As the need, hunger is to be insufficient. Or to have things feeling that this is insufficient. See those who do not have this belief? Even if they have lots of food, they still think, oh, there is one missing. They still think one missing. But the believers look to the Prophet ﷺ, guiding them, saying, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ لُقَيْمَاتِ لِقُمْنَ قُلْبَهُ. It's sufficient for one, a few, some pieces of food that make you alive. That's it. Not necessarily to be or to have lots of food or every day a different meal. No, it's not. It's not. Him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the great mankind ever known as the brothers of the Sahaba used to have only this. And sometimes, as Aisha said, what was the food of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? She said, 3 months, no fire is put in the houses of the Prophet. Her she said that when Abdullah ibn Zubair asked, Mom, what was your food? She said, the two black food. What is it? Water and day. That's it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So richness is not only wealth. No, it's as the Prophet ﷺ said, it's what Allah Ta'ala puts in your heart. And if you want, ask Allah, as He said, ask me sustenance, I'll provide it to you. The fourth call is an encouragement to avoid bringing the defect of others to the public. You know, so and so has something wrong to do. He does something wrong. He smokes maybe. He does anything wrong. But he does it in heaven. You come to the public and say, no, that's bad. You yourself, do not do the wrong and come to the people and say, oh, I did this. No, that's wrong. Unless if you are somebody who's been guided recently and he is bringing that to show people how the blessing of Allah upon me. I was on this, like what the Sahaba used to do. After they become Muslims, they used to sit together and speak about the evil that they used to do at the time of Jahiliyyah, of ignorance. But other than that, no, that's wrong. Many people go for tourism to somewhere else in the world. And they come back from there, oh, I did this, I did that. I've been to the disco, I've been to this. And they think this is a thing of pride. No, that's wrong. That's a shame. Allah covered you, didn't bring you to the public naked. Neither in your body, nor in your thoughts and beliefs, nor in what you did in hidden, in secret. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, this is one of the attributes of Allah. Inna Allah hayyun kasir. Verily Allah hayy. Hayy is from Aziz ﷺ described and said that if one of you raises hands to him to return it empty. Kasir means he covers. Satr is from covering. He covers your sins, your defects. If you don't bring them out, if you bring them out, Allah will remove his cover. And that's why in the hadith the Prophet said that if the person does wrong, and it doesn't mean he'll go and do wrong, but the Prophet is saying that. And he covers himself, he keeps it in heaven and seek forgiveness. In the day of resurrection, Allah Ta'ala will mention to him, but in secret. Will bring a cover and whisper to him. So nobody hear it, nobody knows. As in the hadith, Allah Ta'ala said, سَتَرْتُ عَلَيْكَ بِالدُّنْيَا وَالْيَوْمَ أَنَا أَسْتُرَ عَلَيْكَ. And the Prophet ﷺ told us about, he got also the ladies. He said, أَيُّمَا امْرَأَةٍ خَلَعَتْ ثِيَابَ بِغَيْرِ بَيْتِ زَوْجِهَا فَقَدْ هَتَكَتْ سِتْرَ مَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ. Any woman, we take off her clothes in a house other than the husband's house, then she has removed the cover that Allah put on her, and no cover. She might be known to the public anymore. So every lady should think this coverage of Allah that she hides behind when doing wrong, when talking to someone, when going out to someone, when dating someone, when like these things, this coverage of Allah very soon will be removed and should be seen naked. Mean naked of the coverage of Allah. Not clothed, she might be in her jilbab, but everyone will know that she is a wrongdoer. So the Prophet ﷺ gave guidance to all and to ladies as well. And here also the Prophet ﷺ said, من ستر مسلم ستره الله يوم القيامة. من ستر مسلم في الدنيا ستره الله يوم القيامة. Whoever covers the Muslim, when he sees the Muslim doing wrong, he covers him, by meaning he doesn't bring out what he saw. Then Allah Ta'ala will cover him in the day of resurrection. So people will not know what he did in life. He might be seen in life, mashallah, very pious. That's what people think of him. But he might be different. But because he never brings out the defects of others, Allah will cover him in the day of resurrection. So, the Prophet, and then Allah Ta'ala said, Ya ibadi kullukum aarin illa man kasawtum. Oh my servants, you all are naked except those whom I provide clothes to cover or to wear. So ask me to provide you clothes to wear or cover. So what's the relation between this and what we said, what we talked about? Here Allah Ta'ala explains what does the meaning of clothes in reality, or coverage in reality. What does it mean? Allah Ta'ala said, Ya Bani Adam, as in Surah Al-A'raf, Ya Bani Adam, Inna anzalna alaykum libasan yuwari sawatikum wa risha. All children of Adam, we have sent down to you clothes that covers his body fat. وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى. Now here's the real cover. It's not the clothes. It's not the clothes. The clothes doesn't cover you in reality. So many people are in good clothes, but they are in shame. Because their defects are already in place. Everyone knows now. Their inside, their hidden, has been now open to everyone to see and look and hear. And that's why Allah Ta'ala says, وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى. The covers, the clothes of fearness, of taqwa, ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. That is better than this clothes. That is better than the normal clothes. And the fifth call, Allah Ta'ala is clarified to us what can bring us close to the Jannah and take us away from the fire. It is the command of this subhanahu wa ta'ala for people not to give up from his mercy and to trust. And to trust him subhanahu wa ta'ala that he forgives them. Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي. Say, O Muhammad, to my slaves, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. You have been doing lots of sins. لا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Don't give up hope from the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Verily Allah forgives all sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Verily Him is the all forgiver, all mercy. And that's why in this hadith, in this call, the fifth call, He subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا عِبَادِي إِنَّكُمْ تَخْطِئُونَ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. This is the reality of us. All my servants, you do wrong, you do sin, day and night. Who can claim today that one single day, one single night, he doesn't have any sin? I tell you, no one can. No one. We're weak. And the reason why we're like that is to seek forgiveness. It's a great worship. It is one of the greatest worship that you practice is to seek forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala. So that's why you sin. You fall into the sin. All my servants, you do wrong, you do sin, day and night, and I forgive all the sins. So seek forgiveness from me, I will forgive you. And the sixth call, Allah Ta'ala brings to our mind what was absent for a long time and for many people. What is that? So many people think that by their obedience, they are benefiting Allah. And that's wrong. You do the good to benefit yourself. You do the bad, you harm only yourself. You harm nobody but yourself. If you have an enmity with your father, and you say, I do wrong, so Allah will punish my father, either him or along with me, we say you're wrong. Allah Ta'ala already said, وَلَا تَذِرُ وَزِرَةُ وَزِرَةُ أُخْرَى. No one will be punished for the sin of others. No one. Allah Ta'ala, here in Surah Al-Dariyat, clarifies that by saying, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. That I created jinn and mankind only to worship me. I need not from them to provide me sustenance, neither to feed me. Verily Allah is the only one who provides sustenance and power. He is the all-powerful, all-wise. And that's why Allah Ta'ala, in this hadith, in this call, the sixth call, telling us, Ya Ibadi, إِنَّكُمْ لَنْ تَبْلُغُوا ذُرِّي فَتَضُرُّونَ. O my servant, you will never reach to harm me, so you can harm me. وَلَنْ تَبْلُغُوا نَفْعِي فَتَنْفَعُونِ. You will also never reach to benefit me, so you benefit me. So why you do this? It's to benefit yourself. To benefit yourself. The seventh and eighth calls, and there Allah Ta'ala show us why we do good, or what can the goodness of us do, and the bad of us do. Allah Ta'ala says, يَا عِبَادِي لَوْ أَنَّ أَوَّلَكُمْ وَآخِرَكُمْ وَإِنْسَكُمْ وَجِنَّكُمْ كَانُوا عَلَى أَتْقَى قَلْبِ رَجُلٍ وَاحِدٍ مَا زَادَ ذَلِكَ فِي مُلْكِي شَيْئًا. Oh my servant, if you all, from the first man to the last, you, mankind and the jinn, all are upon, all as upon the most pious, or the heart of the most pious ones of you, you would never benefit. This would not increase anything in my demand. How much is, if you all, from the first man to the last, you mankind and the jinn, be upon the worst heart of one of you, you won't decrease any or anything from my demand. So, whatever good you do is for yourself. Whatever bad you do is against yourself. And the ninth call, Allah Ta'ala also brings settling to our hearts. Not to worry about sustenance back again. It is Him, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, the one who gives and provides us. And He wants Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to bring to our attention that maybe some of us say, oh, mankind been living now for thousands of years, and they were always asking Allah to give them. Maybe now His save is finished, empty. They what in the hands of Allah would never finish, would never be reduced, even if Allah Ta'ala gives a day and night. And He does, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. As He says in Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ. As-Samad means the one of everyone, everything returns back to Him in the matter of sustenance. They all go back to Him. Sustenance, health, whatever, power, whatever. And He goes to nobody.
I think the man didn't go. I think the guy didn't go to bring the food. Not to please bring up.
So Allah Ta'ala is saying in this hadith, in the ninth call, O my servant, if you all, from the first man to the last, mankind and jinn, stood on one plain land asking me of anything. I shall give everyone his own need. That will never lessen of what I have. But as a needle, that put into the sea. Take a needle, put it into the sea. What do you think the needle can take from the water of the sea? If we measure, can we see anything, any difference? Nothing. Nothing. And I tell you something, it's all an example to show you. Otherwise, when the needle is taken into the sea and brought out, it will go out of the sea. A drop of water is out of the fund of the sea. But whatever you take is still in what Allah Ta'ala owns. Will it still be within what Allah Ta'ala owns? You cannot take it to any other world. Which other world? There is no any other world. All worlds belong to Allah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Alameen, all worlds. Where you go? Aranas belongs to Allah. Wherever you go, belongs to Allah. So you can take nothing out of the dominion of Allah. In the last call, Allah Ta'ala is bringing to us a picture of what's going to happen in the day of reckoning or the day of resurrection. From the happiness and sadness, as what Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'arij, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِ. For the one who is going to take his book by right. Is it by sitting? Are the books going to be thrown so one take by right, by one take by left? No. Not up to you, it's not your choice. Your book will come only to your right side. Okay, I can't. If it comes from left side, I can extend my hand, my right hand, and take it. You can't. It won't be able. You'll only be able to take it with the hand of which you were upon in this life. If you were in this life with the people of right, you will take your book by your right hand. If you were with the people of left, the wrongdoer, then you are only going to take it by left hand. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَيَقُولُ هَاؤُمْ اقْرَأُوا كِتَابِيَ. This one will say, oh people, take my book and read. Like the child when he comes from the school after the exam, getting all mashallah high score. Two brothers in a school, one brings high scores, one brings low scores. The one with high scores come home, break the door. Very happy. Mom, take tea. I got the high scores. The other one is changed. Rubbing head down. Mom asked, what did you do? Kids do like what people do in the day of rejection. The teacher, he doesn't like me. He likes my brother. He always makes jokes against me. And he starts give excuses of his mistakes and lessons. And the devil is acting like that. As what Allah Ta'ala told us, that the people of fire will blame each other. Oh Allah, they misguide us, oh Allah. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla says, مَا يُبَدَّلُ الْقَوْلُ لَدَيَّ وَمَا أَنَا بِضَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. What I say is not going to be changed. Who's going to the fire is going to the fire. And then he would be told, or Allah Ta'ala said about him, he's in a blessed life in the paradise, in which the food are down to eat. And he would be told, كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا, eat and drink, بِمَا أَشْرَبْتُمْ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْخَالِيَةِ, for what he used to do in the life. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِشِمَالِهِ فَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُوْتَ كِتَابِيَ. The one who gets his book by the left, say, I wish I never get my book. وَلَا أَدْرِي مَا حِسَابِي, I wish I never know my recognition or judgment. يَا لَيْتَا كَانَتِ الْقَابِيَ, I wish it was the end of my life. What does he wish, you think? He wished that he was a donkey. He wished that he was a man. He wished that he was a musket. You know why? Because these are the ones have only one life. As what Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Amma. In Surah Amma. In the end of it, the Kaaba would say what? Ya laytani kuntu turaba. I wish I was a soil. Who becomes soil? Animals have no other life. It's only this life. And then, judgment will be done between them, not because they worship other than Allah, no. Or they did not worship Allah, no. It is only because they harm each other. And after that, Allah will tell them be sorry. And that's it. They finish. The Kafir will see this because the judgment of the animals before the judgment of mankind. We will all see that. So the Kafir will see this and then he says, I wish I'm an animal. He wishes that time that he was a dog, he was a donkey, he was an ant. That time Allah Ta'ala created you better than all those, but you did not respect yourself, you did not respect your Lord, and that's why that day he wishes that he was an animal. And then he says, مَا أَغْنَى عَنِّي مَالِيَ, all my wealth didn't benefit me. Yes, it doesn't benefit, not in the day of resurrection, no, it's from the moment he died. As he might be taken to the five-star hospital to be treated. But once he dies, he can't take nothing with him. Even if they brought all the money with them and the grave, yet he can't benefit nothing. What does he need the money for? So that's why he said, مَا أَغْنَى عَنِّي مَالِيَ هَلَكَ عَنِّي سُلْطَانِي, even my position, he was a minister, he was the president, he was the king, he was whatever he was, as an authority in this life, it would never benefit him in the day of resurrection. Only what he did from the good and bad, that was kind of benefit and harm. So Allah Ta'ala in the last call is bringing to the attention of those who are not looking forward, who are always forgetting the end, forgetting the grave, forgetting the resurrection, forgetting the standing before Allah. Allah is calling them to get ready before they are buried. As so many today in the graves who wishes to come back to life, not to go back to discos or whatever he used to do, as what Allah Ta'ala said about him, قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَكَانٍ, oh Allah, return me back and I will do good and what I left behind. So let's awake, let's get ready. And let's stop our sins. And repent to Allah. As He subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the last call, إِنَّمَا هِيَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ فَصِّيهَا عَلَيْكُمْ فَمَا وَجِدَ خَيْرًا فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ وَمَا وَجِدَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. O my servants, it is all your deeds that I count to you. Then I pay them back to you. When? In the good possession. So, whosoever does find good in that day, then should he praise his Lord, Allah. Because He's the one who guided him. He's the one who guided him to be doing the good. And whosoever finds bad in his records, they should he not blame nobody but himself. As he did not get ready in this life, Allahu A'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Now inshallah we're going to start till they serve the food. We're going to start again the Durus al-Muhimma. Right. We are in the sixth verse. Ya Ba'al, the sixth verse. نعم اقرأ صفحة 128 that was موعظة reminder. Maw'idah is good to awake us, but we need ilm. Ilm is the light. Many hearts are awake, but they have no ilm, so they start innovating in their religion, and then they become like what Allah Ta'ala said, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. We come to what they used to do or what they did from the worship, and then we made it to be like the sun when it is blown by the storm. So we have to start back again the lesson. And when we say the lesson are so serious, we're gonna ask. I don't like the students to come with no books, no notebooks, as 100% you guys are not remembering. Can I say again? Anyone yani is good in this instrument or because you have to take an you can't only swimming pools will be gone. Faisal, can you do something there? I think I can. I will try.
Thank you. وفي الصلاح ما يسلم من عدم ما من عدم
Now, they shall hear, call. Okay. What? No, they can, hear, inshallah. Because they are not going to talk. We don't hear them, so they can eat. Sisters, they can eat while listening to the dogs. They are punishing the brothers for not bringing their books, so we're going to hold them from school. Hold on.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره صلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. الدرس الثالث شروط صلاة وهي تسعة: الإسلام والأخذ
والتمييز
ورفع الحدث. ورفع الحدث وإزالة النجاسة وستر العورة ودخول الوقت واستقبال القبلة والنية
طيب. In a previous verse we talked about the first pillar of Islam. As you know, these days I'm teaching nothing but something I call the perfection of the pillar. As by standing in many mosques in the kingdom and outside of the kingdom, asking the Muslims about these pillars, finding them, mashallah, no many books, no manahij, no everything, but they don't know these pillars. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Ya Rasulullah, teach me something. If I do, I will get to the Jannah." He said, "You be a witness that there is no guy to worship but Allah, and be a witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. You perform salah, give out zakah, perform siyah." At that time, Hajj wasn't obligatory. So the man said, "Is that all?" He said, "That's all." He said, "By the one who sent you with the truth, I will never do anything more than this, and I will never reduce lesser than these." And the man left. He's not from Medina. He left to his town. So the Prophet ﷺ says, "He will be successful if he does what he says." Last one, as well as Akhawat, there is a real serious problem in the Muslim world today. Very, 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 very little number of Muslims knows the boundaries of the relationship between them and Allah. They know the law of traffic police. They know the law of whatever ministry found today. But they don't know the law that can take them to the paradise. Some of them might fell into another fire of Tawheed, but they still consider that they're Muslims. And you can see the Muslims all around the world. I don't want you to tell me that you know you're from India, you know that Sufis are not of Islam, true Islam, the Shia are not. I understand that you know these. But do you know how to perfect your Tawheed? That's the problem. When we put most of the brothers, especially the Salafis, we found them free of knowledge. Free of knowledge. It is like if $30 is put into a black bottle. You don't know if it is empty or full until you shake it. When we shake these people, we find that they are just nothing. I don't want to go just forward to say how many of us today in this masjid can know La ilaha illallah and all what is related. From what is told several times in here and in different places. I'm saying, brothers, you have to be serious. And why I'm so serious today is, fortunately for me, maybe unfortunately for you, I might move to Medina. So we need to be so serious in seeking knowledge. And if we can be perfect in the five pillars, believe me, we are scholars. We got this call, is no doubt. And believe me, see, you come from all the distance to me, I have no knowledge. I only have this five pillars knowledge. I have no knowledge. I'm a regular Muslim. Two things they have. Keep reading, same thing. I thought this book maybe many times. Because I'm not so worried about what's happening in the world today. Why? I tell you an example. A person who is suffering of cancer, who's booked in the hospital, hearing his neighbor, L person, crying because his leg is broken. Do you think he is going to be so concerned about it? No. Because he thinks no one is worse than me. This guy, tomorrow or day after tomorrow, is going to walk and go. But me, I'm having cancer. Well, I can't be cured of that. We are not looking to the world this way. We are looking the opposite. We are having cancer, but thinking we have broken legs. And looking to the one with broken legs, saying he's the senior cancer. That's our reality. We are blaming everyone, the Sufi, the Shia, the Hizbi, this, that, but we are not protecting ourselves. That's our problem. And that's why we are not accepting, and wherever we go surrounding us. And whenever we have the knowledge, we use it as a stick to hit the people with. Or a gun to shoot the people with. And that's a problem. We are not using the ilm the way the Prophet ﷺ used it. He used it as the fan that he blew air to the one who was having fever. That's what the Prophet ﷺ used to do. He is blowing cold air to the one who is suffering of fever. We are using it as a stick, hitting the people with. And that's bad. That's really bad. Any Hizbi wants to put a Salafi in a bad position, brings him in the open and ask him, tell me what are the pillars of La ilaha illallah. Tell me the evidences of them. Tell me the difference between condition and pillar and salah. You see many Salafis say, So what is Salafi then? What is Salafi? Salafi is knowledge. Salafiyya is knowledge. There is no Hizb called Salafiyya. So you say, I'm Salafi, I'm Salafi, you are with them. Salafiyya is knowledge. The Hizbis name themselves to the Hizb that they belongs to because they know the rules and regulations of that Hizb. We have to know what makes us Salafis, real Salafis, the knowledge. You should, since you become a Salafi, you should put a scale for yourself. Scale for Quran, scale for Hadith, scale for Fiqh. How much you got? of that since you become Salaf? Is there an increase? Or you are in the same level? Or you are getting lesser? If you are in the same level, this is bad. This is bad. If you are lesser, then it is worse. Then I am seriously telling you that Shaitan is kidding you. Shaitan is playing around me, making you to believe I'm Salafi, I'm Salafi, I'm Salafi. I'm getting little, little, little of knowledge until you fell and we saw this. I myself saw Salafi, who used to be always with the ulama, with the shiur, but not for seeking knowledge. It's not everyone with the shiur is for seeking knowledge. And that's why he's not protected. Because the shiur do not protect you by their bodies. They protect you with the end that you escape from them. If you just go around the shiur and having no knowledge, he'd be in trouble. He'd be in real trouble. Why? Because people will think that you are, mashallah, great talib al-ilm. Then you are alone. The shaykh is not there. They ask you things. The clever of us say, I promised myself not to speak about anything. I am a student of knowledge. I am a literal student of knowledge. And you command yourself by that. No. I cannot. He doesn't say, I don't know. Like Imam Malik says, so I cannot. Meaning he has the knowledge but he cannot give it because he thinks that he is not alim. That's how Shaitan takes us out of Salafi. So dear brothers and sisters, make a promise to yourself from today. You seriously seek knowledge. Start with Quran. If you yet cannot recite Quran very well, blame yourself. You are in this land. You can go to many people who can teach you how to recite Quran. Don't start with articles about this and that. Start with Quran, with the protection. اعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا. And then the hadith, the fiqh, understanding of how to worship Allah Ta'ala. That is the protection. Other than that, we are to be destroyed. We are to be destroyed. So we have to take care of that. And inshallah ta'ala, next Friday, we are going to start with Salah. But I wish you review the lessons we had about, especially about La ilaha illallah. Try to memorize it like a name. Why? Yes, the ulama do not say that it is obligatory to memorize with the evidences. But you know why I say it is obligatory for you? Because you are representative of the Salafiyyah. You are going to be somewhere in India, in UK, in USA, in Canada, and people will come to you because you've somebody been to Saudi for long. And then you come back to them, cannot teach, cannot tell them what can benefit them, what can harm them. It is shame. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from the devil and his tricks. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala rasul. I think the food is... I didn't do the dust because the food is here.